4-1 and 5-1.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Get a bonus bet up to $50 for second and third on races 1 to 4 at Rosehill and Caulfield.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
And HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. HQinsurance.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing welcome you to Racing HQ. Every Saturday this spring, Racing HQ will set up Sydney's incredible cavalcade of Group 1 racing.
Here we go for the Everest, the lights on. To the big roar of the crowd, they're off and racing.
Form analysts, TAB markets and interviews. This spring, it's all on Racing HQ.
Yes, just gone 7 o'clock on De Bordeli Wines Golden Rose Day. If you've just the alarms gone off, good morning to you. Welcome into our program, Sky Sports Radio, Sky Thoroughbred Central, and of course Sky Racing 1. Previewing our interview hour coming up all around the Rosehill program. The track is a good four to start with. There is a chance of getting an upgrade with around 25 degrees on the way out there at Rosehill. The Penno this morning, 4.68, and the rail is at 3 metres. Kembla Grange, it's a good 3, the rail at 6. Bowraville today, it's a good 3 with fine weather there in New South Wales. Sunny Coast, fine and a good 4, the rail is true, and a Caulfield, it's fine, a good 4 with 19 degrees down there for the Sir Rupert Clark program. Ron Duffacy, I think, is online all ready to go for us on this Saturday morning. Morning to you, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. What a day. This is a serious race we have here today. One of my favourite races on the program, the Golden Rose. So lots of differing opinions. Tipsters are involved in here, and it's just not a, you know, three or four horse race. This is the best 3 year olds around at the moment, I'd say, and it's going to be a mouth watering contest.
Duff, 10 boys and the one filly down the bottom, but she can't be ruled out. We know she's raced in Sydney Seabrook very impressively before.
Well, she's a proven Group 1 performer, isn't she? She's performed well winning a Champagne Stakes. She was winning a Squid in Brace as well, and she wasn't far away in a Golden Slipper, only a couple of lengths away, so we have to treat her seriously as well. And some will say, oh, no, the fillies haven't got a good record in the Golden Rose, but I don't think too many run in it. I think we had one in last year. It was Champagne Cuddles who run second, so I would have thought Seabrook's a better performed filly than Champagne Cuddles at this stage of her career. So it's a really, really interesting race with the top notch colts involved, and obviously a very, very good filly. And it looks like Rises down gone down on call here on a big Group 1 day as well. I don't know if it's just me, but it's
It's everyone. It's everyone, Ron. It was working, and I guess the only positive is that it's gone now, and hopefully it'll be right for the scratchings.
hopefully, if
we're going to take a positive. But Riser is the system where we get all the relevant information. The trainers go in and they can put in scratchings or whatever they want to do, jockey changes or whatever. But right now, in the last 5 or so minutes, it's gone down. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll go to a couple of other sites and we'll wait and see. All right, Ron, we've got plenty of good guests. As you say, it's a pretty sort of meaty program. Probably the Gloaming and the Shannon are the disappointing ones, but every other race offers up so much.
Yeah, it's carnival time, it's springtime, and the next month or 5 weeks in Sydney is going to be fantastic racing. There's no doubt about it leading into the Everest, and there's plenty to talk about.
Well, when we talk about springtime, the name Kumani comes forth, and that's Matt Kumani. Good morning to you, Matt.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Matt.
Good to talk to you, mate. Your Ballarat team in Victoria, how are things going there?
Really well, yeah. They're just getting ready. We've got plenty of young horses, so had a slow start in terms of runners for the season, but it'll pick up momentum all the way through, and hopefully we'll try and at least match, and if not better, our really good last season.
This is a very interesting mare you bring here today, Matt. This is Etta James. She's got a good-looking record, 6 wins from 12 starts. So how did you come about her?
The guys who own her, who bred her, called me out of the blue and said we've got an unraced four-year-old mare by raise the flag, who at that point, I have to confess, I hadn't ever heard of. And I was a little bit wary, to be honest. But they had the sort of foresight to decide to take her over to Australia. So I figured that she must be good enough. And she certainly has been. She's been a bit of a revelation for us. And she's a lovely, big, strong mare. She looks like a sprinter. She's really heavy and well-muscled and doesn't look like a staying mare. But she's certainly, that seems to be all she does.
Obviously, she was very good first up. We have to be forgiving their second up with that tough run?
I think so, yes. I mean, it's always difficult to keep yourself confident going into a race like today or, even bigger targets when you come off what on the face of it looks very disappointing at the Valley. But she's not really a Valley mare. You know, she really wasn't going to suit it, particularly not from that barrier and not with the run she had. So I think we have to really sort of turn a blind eye to that performance and just put a line through it and hope that today we see her back in her usual brilliance.
You got a spring happening in Melbourne. Is she in Sydney because it's hard to get a run with a staying type of horse, or you got Metrop in the back of your mind?
Well, I had the Metrop in the back of my mind. I was hoping to go to it third up, to be honest. But it's difficult to go to a Group 1 off a performance like that at the Valley. It's still there. I prefer to give my horse at least 3 weeks in between runs where possible. So to back it up into that race would be a bit of a push for me. But it all depends how she performs today. And really, I just want to get her back on sort of on a winning path. And so races like the Metrop, well, there's time for them. I think let's just concentrate on today's race, really, and then look to the future after that.
Her racing pattern, I know she led all the way when at Morfettville and the Lord Reams, their Group 3 win before going for a break. This is it looks a pretty quick race. Is she just as well? Is she okay taking a sit as well?
Yeah, I think she will be. My view always is particularly as you go up in distance, is to not be the bunny, really. I hate being that target to be hunted down. And obviously in Australia it changes a bit because the tracks are a bit tighter and you can end up having a lot of trouble in running. So being out in front can work for you, and it certainly has done in the past. Today there looks like there's plenty of pace. It's not a huge number of fields, so hopefully getting into trouble won't be an issue. I think we're happy just to sit where we find ourselves and let someone else do the bunny and then hopefully be able to pick up off a strong pace. It looks like it'll be a really true test at the 2400, and I think that's what she needs.
And all in all, you're happy with the condition and how she arrives and you're expecting her to run well?
I think so, yeah. She's been working really well. She seems happy. She's travelled well. She's settled in well. We're staying at Gerald Ryan's. She's a difficult mare, really, to judge because you look at her and you think she's not ready. I mean, she's so big and she's just a really heavy mare. And you always wonder whether she's fit enough. But, and it is early on in her campaign, so it's still a bit of a question mark. But I think, throughout her whole of her last campaign, she always looked big and heavy and always performed well. And hopefully we've got a long campaign coming up ahead of us, and I think she's in the right condition for the stage she's at.
A couple of runners at Caulfield, this colt De Rosa in the first, a strong winning at his debut, and just give the impression the mile might suit him last time.
Yeah, I think so. The question is whether a mile's going to actually be far enough. I'm sort of hoping he might be that really good miler, but he's a bit of a tricky horse as well to look at. But he looks like a sprinter too. He's small and nuggety and well muscled and looks speedy to look at stood up. But when you watch his action, he's got a really long, rangy stride. He comes off the bridle a little bit, particularly over the shorter distances when they pick up the pace. And he's also a brother to some serious stares in Europe, champion stare in Germany actually. I think we may see today that he needs further still, but I'm quietly hoping that a mile really might suit him. But it could be that actually we divert and go on a more of a sort of derby path after today.
Mm-hmm. And Golden Authority in race two for two last prep, just outspreaded there first up?
Yeah, out sprinted, and he was close up over 1800. There just wasn't a decent other race for him. It would have had to have been going to the valley for a mile, and I just don't think that would have suited him at all. We always had it in our mind that he was going to need the run. I think it certainly looked like that. He's a quality horse, but he's an ex Breeze Up horse from New Zealand, and he shouldn't have been in a Breeze Up sale. He's by authorised. He's always going to be a late maturing horse, and I think it's taken its toll a little bit on him soundness-wise. So we had to be a bit careful. We had to try and limit the number of runs he has. So I didn't want to take a long, three steps to get to the 1800, 2000 meter races. So we've tried to shortcut it a little bit, and it looks like that in his first run. But I'm hoping today he's a lot fitter, and it's a very tough race. But I'm hoping he's got the quality that's needed.
All in all, how's your numbers shaping up at Ballarat? You're building up the stable?
Yes. We're going really well. We've got some really, really good clients. We keep getting new ones that send us interesting tried horses, and we bought a lot of really nice yearlings at this year's sales, some two-year-olds, with a few still spaces to think that we've sort of kept back to try and encourage new owners into the team. It's going really well. I mean, we had the most fantastic year last year, and hopefully we can build on that again.
Good luck today.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good on you, Matt. Really appreciate it. Matt Kumani joining us there from his base. I think he's maybe in Sydney or heading that way, but good luck today with his runners. Ron, we've been discussing the Everest since last year's Everest, but the Kosciuszko this week, we've just gone, it's been unbelievable with the slots. What about Monday? We had, I think, six go on the one day, and they went within a couple of hours of each other.
Yeah, they were all chasing the cream. That's what they were doing. They were chasing the cream and probably running off each other there, which is good for the owners of the horse, not so good for the owners of the slot. So I think now that we've only got a few left, the slot holders hold the whip hand. They can be a little bit tougher than the slot holders that are chasing in the favourites. They just had to take a little bit lesser percentage there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know when they have to finalise their deal for the Kosciuszko, but they hold the whip hand now, and they can wait and be patient and see what emerges and what deals they can do.
Yeah, it was interesting talking with Kurt Goldman yesterday about Eckstein, that their owners, they feel that she runs in good quality races anyway. Do they want to do a deal? It has to be an attractive deal if she runs well today. So we got Care to Think, Victorum, Don't Give a Damn, The Monster, After All That, Kopi Luwak, Snitz and Suncraze there, and Oso Hazy there. The nine that have gone will have 12 plus four emergencies for the Kosciuszko when that final field eventually comes out. Righto, Brenton Abdullah. Ronnie, I hope he knows how to get back to Sydney Racetrack. He hasn't been to a Saturday for a while. How are you, Brenton?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys.
Good to talk to you, mate. And look, you've been down to Melbourne, and obviously you've ridden, I think, once during a midweeker, but back in Sydney at carnival time.
Yeah, no, it's good to be home. It was nice to, obviously it was good to get to Japan, but always good to be home, and especially this time of year.
What did you make of that Japan experience? Obviously you had success. Would you do it again?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Duff really enjoyed it. It's definitely different. It's a culture shock, but he really enjoyed the racing. He was riding for some of the biggest owners in the world over there, and had a lot of luck. So I don't know if you've seen a tweet yesterday. There's a few confirmations of the boys who are going sort of November, December, and looks a good little lineup. See, William Buick got confirmed. Huey goes back for a couple meetings. So I think I'll be probably just going back for a few weeks in December for a few of the Group 1s, hopefully.
Okay, good. What is the difference? Is it just the language barrier, or do they do things different there?
They do things very well. With the race, just with the racing and that sort of stuff. But you got big fields, you got good tempo in a lot of races, and it's just some rules there that they don't apply to Sydney racing. There's a safety zone rule there, basically. If you're one off the fence, it means on the rail and you can't go up inside it. And if you do go up inside and you cause interference, it's your fault. So just basic little things like that. That's just the hardest to sort of get around. It gets yourself into a bit of trouble. But once you sort of adapt to their racing, then it gets quite enjoyable.
Solid book of rides today without probably having a big standout, but Quacker Jack, you would have seen his first up run.
Yeah, no, he went terrific first up. A bit stiff. I was meant to ride him actually in Melbourne last week when he was down there, but he drew the outside gate, and Mark decided to scratch him and keep him for here. So nice little race for him. He deserves his chance to sort of hopefully break through this time in.
Eric Kanji in race three, he's fit a third up here.
Yeah, he's always been a talented colt. He finds a small field here with a middle draw. Look, he can bounce. If he begins, he can put himself right on speed, or if he wants to relax, he can settle just behind him. He's a pretty adaptable sort of horse. And like I said, the team's always had a bit of an opinion of him. So I think the 1800 will suit him. Very even race. You know, I've had a bit to do with Tarka, obviously, last prep, and I like him as a little horse. But, look, it's one of those races where I wouldn't be surprised to see my bloke sort of improve third up again.
Harper's Choice, you know him well enough in race four, where he's one for one at this track and distance, winning the Winter Cup.
Yeah, I do. I think he just appreciates a bit of cutting the ground. The other day, they went along at a solid gallop in Newcastle, and he was trucking behind them, and the sort of on-speed horses collapsed in his slap on the corner. He took control, but he's a horse who sort of just keeps galloping at the one speed, and I think still he goes the same section as sort of basically with a bit of cut in the ground. So, again, you've sort of got Tiz Montaigne, Dark Eyes there, who sort of want to probably be on speed, and it's my bloke. If they don't want to lead, I'm sure he can take it up and control things, but he's going to be somewhere in the first three, and at his best, he can win, but I just think he appreciates that bit of cut in the ground.
Kingsguard Race 5, you won the Hawkesbury Cup on him last prep. The drier track will suit him today.
Yeah, second up I think suits him too. Again, you've got a couple of guys there who probably want to be forward. But my bloke, if he can put himself into a positive and controlling spot, that's when he races best, I feel. So no way on his back. Second up, small field. I'd like to see him sort of improve today. And if he does, he'll be right on the money.
Princess Posh is look a bit tougher here, but at least she's off a win.
Yeah, talented mare. She's always had a bit of talent. Mare's in form too, on the back of winning form, you can never sort of dismiss. But Scully gave her a lovely ride last start, and she was able to break through. So up in grade here, in much stronger class, she's taken on a few better mares. She's in Group 1 winners. So she's got to be at her best. Soft draw, she's going to get a good running transit, and if she can just take that bit of confidence from the other day, and she's a top four, top five, top chance for sure.
And nice to keep just a foot in that Chris Lee's door. They're I think a lot of firepower at the moment.
Yeah, very lucky. Chris has always been a big supporter, from a number of years ago, and I actually had a bit of a joke with him. I went to Newcastle Trials on Wednesday. I said, "What's it like separating your?" It's a bit different separating your Group 1 horses from your, your Cessnock and Musselbrook maidens. So, it's a challenge I think he's enjoying, and obviously he's got a good team around him that are helping him out.
What'd you make of that Smart Melody last week? How far can she go?
I was really impressed with her there. Obviously 1,100 to 1,400 is a bit of an ask, but I think 1,400 around Caulfield, she'll be right. The mile, well, that's a different question, but we'll get over Saturday, the 1,400 on Sunday first.
Jonker in the Golden Rose, first ride on him. He should get a cosy little on-pace run.
Yeah, talented colt. He obviously showed good promise in his early two-year-old, and he got smashed up in the Magic Millions, and he's come back. I thought his first up run was okay, and I thought his run the other day was full of merit. He sort of stepped slowly, put himself on speed, and the first couple got around him, but I actually thought his last 100 was really strong and through the line. He gets blinkers off up to 1,400, soft draw. There's some good colts here. He's going to have to be on his brilliant best, but look, I can see him, like you said, getting a really good run on speed, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him looking winner at some stage.
And I don't know if you know much about this horse, the last Tamarack, but there's a good straight corner tip going round for him, I tell you.
Yeah, he's a horse who I actually won a couple on very early on in his career and always thought he'd make the grade and be a genuine horse, and he just seemed to lose his way a bit. He sort of comes to this now with a few runs under his belt and running not far away. Just drawing a bit awkward, but I think it's one of those sort of benchmark races where a number of them have sort of been in and out of form, and they can all sort of
they all put their best foot forward. They can all win, and he's one of them. So last race of the day, he's got no weight on his back. Anywhere near his best, he'll be competitive.
You've won your premiership now, and what have you structured yourself up for the spring? Do you chase the big riches? What are you going to do? You hang around Sydney, or you wait for the right horse to go to Melbourne, or which you usually do?
Yeah, tell you what, Duff, it's been difficult to get back on the board and get some rides. I'll tell you that. Sydney's one of probably I think we've got the strongest jockey pool going around anywhere at the moment, and I sort of, from 5 seasons ago, I worked really hard to sort of get to where I did, and that was through, plenty of working pretty hard and getting the good opportunities. But, even being out of Sydney, it's the longest I've been out of Sydney, in the last 5 seasons, and I've literally given everyone 2 months head start and had no support. So it's been difficult, just been working hard. Like I said, I did Newcastle trials on Wednesday before the race. It's just a cruise, and been doing plenty of work. So I'm basically freelance and looking for rides. But if I find that good horse, it takes me to Melbourne, I'll plan to go down there. But basically just trying to get into a bit of a rhythm again and a bit of momentum to get, and we'll see what it ends up.
Well, with your work ethic, I don't think that'll take long. You'll find something. Good luck today.
Cheers.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Brenton. Brenton Abdullah joining us there, going through his rides. The riser system just slowly starting to wind themselves back into action. I don't think there's any extras to the 12 that we've got. Those numbers, if you haven't got them, race 1, you can take out 6 and 9. Race 2, take out 5, 8, 9 and 17. Race 3, number 5. At the moment, races 4 and 5 are clear. Race 6, number 8. Race 7, the Deborderly Wines Golden Rose Longleaf has come out number 8. Race 8 at the moment is clear. And race 9, 6, 10, Fireman Sam IM come out last night or the night before. And Royal Stamp, so 6, 10 and 16. So we'll just keep an eye on those. Let's go and have a chat now with Ron Quinton. He's got his two favourites in the big race today for the fillies and mares, the Golden Pendant. Ron, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. The Duff's here, obviously, but Dixie and Daisy are there, and I look forward to seeing the other one, Royal Celebration, a bit as well.
Yeah, no, he showed us some promise. He showed us some promise last prep, and he won a maiden at Warwick Farm, but then subsequently there's been quite a number of winners come out of that race. And then he runs second to Chris Waller's very good colt.
The Autumn Sun.
Good colt that won the J.J. Atkins. And then we put him away. We put him away and give him a bit of a break. And he's come back good. He's had a couple of trials, and he's done really nicely in the stable and couldn't be happier with him.
Yeah, I obviously think he had spring potential because you've looked after him once he put that form on the board in May, Ron. So he's up and going at the right time.
Yeah, Ron, look, he's not a big robust colt, not as big and strong as Chris Waller's good colt. So that was a reason we didn't even think about going to Brisbane for the winter, because I thought it'd be better to just give him a little bit of a holiday and come back for the spring, and so hopefully that was the right move.
It looked very awkward for him on the map there from the outside draw. A couple of little scratchings overnight have probably helped his chances.
Well, I was very disappointed when the draw come out. 11 of 11. Thought, we'd had a bit of a bad run with barrier draws in recent times, but anyway, small field, so field's come down a bit, so it'll be very interesting. Andrew will have to sort of really have his thinking cap on in the first, because you haven't got a long run to that first turn from the 1300 on the course proper, so.
No.
But anyway, what will be, I guess.
The two mares in the pendant, Daisy, you did warn me the other day that 1,200, is probably not her ideal distance, and not a lot went right there. So today it looks much better set up. She gets 1,400, she gets a good draw, she gets a drier track. A lot of positives for her today.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, like the other day was, like she's always been that little bit of vulnerable in those shorter ones as she's got older. And particularly out of that 1,200 metre shoot, like she travelled wide and then Andrew continued to make ground all the way around the circle. Well, it's almost impossible to keep going. And the other thing was, too, the track was pretty ordinary that day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. So she's done well since that. She's gone home and recovered pretty well.
Yeah, look, she knew she had a run. She certainly knew she had a run, but she's tough as old boots, so she's bounced back pretty quickly.
Okay. Dixie, well, we all look at their records. Obviously, Daisy's won 5 at Rose Hill, and Dixie's, they're all pulling out the stat, 9 runs at the track for 5 placings. But, look, she has been placed a couple of times in this race.
Yeah, a couple of times at Rose Hill, she hasn't had a lot of luck, and this is always the thing with backmarkers. But she never had a great deal of luck at Rose Hill, so I'm not too worried about the Rose Hill factor. But she's in bloody really good order, so no, I'm very happy with her. First up run was excellent. You could probably have considered her a bit unlucky. She got a hefty bump on the turn, and then run the others to a neck, which I thought was pretty good effort after having to regain a balance and all that sort of thing. And, you know, probably a bit unlucky not to even get the protest.
And even looking at her in the yard, she always takes a run or two to scrub up and blossom out a bit, but she looked like she had plenty to come there.
Yeah, well, the thing was that she was very, very healthy. Her coat hadn't come through, and she's a bit like that every spring.
Yeah.
But her coat hadn't come through properly at all, but her blood was really good, and I thought she had a great chance of winning, and she's only got beat her neck, so
yeah.
So there was nothing wrong with her, and she was fit to win. Her coat is better today than it was 3 weeks ago, and she's still got a little bit to go with her coat, but I'm not too worried about the coat. What's in the motor and what's underneath is the main thing, so no, I'm pretty happy. Remember when the Kiwis used to bring those horses over?
Well, Jack Denham used to bring them in the yard there where they used to have no rug on all winter there. That you wouldn't know what you had there.
That's exactly right.
How's the blood today? That's all I want to know.
All good. All systems go.
Beautiful. Good luck, Ron.
And Daisy Doom, Ron, won the race last year with 56. She's won a Millie Fox. She's won a Coolmore. 2 kilo more this year compared to last. Is she still okay with the 50? With the 58?
Well, she's got to be. She's got no option. But
no.
Yeah, I'd be very frightened. Gay and Adrian's mare, Prompt Response. It's been in superb order. This last prep, like a last prep, was just so solid. You know, so she's a class mare, and she appears to be getting better all the time as well.
Yep, understand. No, it's a beauty. Can't wait for it. Good on you, Ron. Good luck with the 3 of them.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ron. Ron Quinton out there with his horses. We've got an extra one coming through. Best Guess has come out of race 8. Race 8, number 7, Best Guess, has just come out of that race, and we're sitting on 13 earlies. We're going to take a break. Still to come, Trent Busserton, Matt Smith, about an interesting horse called Fierce Impact. All still to come on Racing HQ.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
The 2018 English Ready to Race catalogue is available now. Professionally trained two-year-olds by leading stallions including Fastnet Rock, Britain Tycoon and Zoostar. Monday, October 15, Riverside Stables, Warwick Farm. Visit english.com.au.
Sutton City is now the home of Sydney's newest Mitsubishi dealership. Shop the entire range of Mitsubishi vehicles at Sutton City. And this month, Mitsubishi is in run out. So if you're in the market for a Mitsubishi, we have ripper deals with free fuel cards and 1.9% finance on selected models. We have plenty of on-site parking, and you will find Sutton City on Link Road, Bentland, just off Southern Cross Drive. So come on down and meet the team at Sutton City Mitsubishi. SuttonCityMitsubishi.com.au. Conditions apply. MD14314.
The Sydney Sun puts on a show to open the Everest Carnival, and they're off. Hot out of the gates, races, winner of Discontent, quickly leaving boredom behind. What shall we do this weekend? Storms to the lead, Fancy the races a second, and now the outsiders get off the couch. A last dash by What Shall I Wear, and here comes Spring. Spring out of nowhere wins by nose.
Escape to Sydney's Everest Carnival. World-class racing, live music and entertainment from September 8 to October 13. Tickets from $10. Pre-book to save at theraces.com.au.
Dynamics indications Gay and Adrian have a high-quality filly to own and race with Newgate Farm. She's by Deep Field, Northern Media's record-breaking speed sire, now Boom First Crop sire. From Princess Marissa, a stakes winner with 5 wins and stakes performed 9 times. And her first, second and third dams are all stakes winners. Join our Dynamic Gay, Adrian and Newgate team in this fabulous filly. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Get a bonus bet up to $50 for second and third on races 1 to 4 at Rosehill and Caulfield.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
And HQ Insurance, the headquarters of equine insurance. HQinsurance.com.au.
It is Racing HQ. The news coming through from Mark Van Gestel, the Chief Steward of Racing New South Wales. Jonker is coming out of the Golden Rose due to an elevated temperature. So I'm not too sure whether it's official, but Mark has just texted me. Yes, it is now official. Race 7, number 7, Jonker. Timing can be everything, Duff, and the horse has got an elevated temperature.
Yeah, that's shocking luck for the connections. It's a big grand final for him today, even though he's still only third up here. But this has been a target race for him, and that's bad luck. That's shocking luck.
It is for Dave Atkins and the crew, a high-profile horse in a high-profile million-dollar race, but sadly now not there. Race 7, number 7, Jonker and Longleaf coming out. What's it bring it down to? A field of 9. And, Ron, a few jockeys obviously have spoken about the makeup of Rose Hill a fortnight ago, but it just seems to be, I've spoken with Ty England and also Brenton Abdullah Rode on the track yesterday, they're just giving it a bit more positive feeling now that we've got a good 4 or maybe a 3 by the middle part of the day.
That's fine. It'll be fine. It was just the circumstances of the last meeting where that rain came it was just sticky and it was no good. But it was only because of the rain. It was not because of there's anything wrong. I think we'll be fine today.
More interviews in just a tick. Can I get your thoughts on Gem Song in the first? Obviously, Chris Lees has got a great deal of these three-year-olds. He's got Smart Melody down in Melbourne already. What's your opinion of Gem Song out of the first up run?
I like him. I think he went out to the paddock with a boom. He was one of these boom horses Chris had, and he probably went out with a bigger boom than a few of his other horses. But I thought he resumed and was a bit of a hidden run. He took on the older horses. He got hung up a little bit on the inside. The track had chopped out. Didn't say chop out a little bit. It was probably better down the middle by the time his race was on. So I want to be very forgiving. Although he didn't run bad, he was beaten a length, and he got hampered during the running. So I think he's got a terrific hope.
Yeah, it's a really good benchmark 72 race to kickstart the program. Trent Busserton and Natalie Young have come to Sydney with Tavil Run lining up in the Gloaming Stakes. Morning to you, Trent.
Good morning, Andrew.
It ends up, we were discussing it earlier in the week, mate, it ends up being a smallish race. We've got a field of 5. Give us your thoughts on how the horse has travelled up and everything like that.
He's travelled up super, he's very, very bright and he's eaten up well, so he'll present in good order.
He looks a beauty, Trent. He's raw. He looks raw, green, but wow, he's got some fight in him.
Yeah, he's sort of he bowled them long in front and on the corner. They sort of look like they got to him, but really stretched out. And while he was still a bit green in the straight, probably the last 50 gets away from them a bit. So we're very pleased with
him. Okay, do you think he's strong enough to go right through the spring?
Yeah, at this stage, I just can't see why not. Obviously, you've got to take it one run at a time, but we're definitely aiming up at the two races in Sydney, all going well, and then hopefully down there for the Derby.
Okay, well, we saw him lead the other day. You've got a fresh Waterhouse bot here that likes to probably lead as well, thinking big. Is that his go? Do you think he has to lead, Tavaran?
No, second start, he sat outside the leader and run it down on the turn, so he'll be in the first three, I'd say, but won't be too hard to fuel sort of out, I suppose, if he's not in front, he'll be right behind it.
A couple of runners at Kirk Caulfield. You look nice. A lot of nice three-year-olds. Savvy Yoke appears to have some talent in race one.
Yeah, although he only eight in the book, he was actually a very good run. He went back to a wide draw and couldn't tack on the back of anything at any stage and sort of only got gone when the race was over. But he had very, very good sectionals. I think he had better sectionals than the winner of the race. So he's drawn well now. He will put him up on the speed, and what seems very even horses like him showing a little bit of potential, but stepping up, I think he can get the job done.
Okay, and you've also got Louis the Legend with his foot on the till there as well.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong, but he got beaten a 64 midweek the other day, so you would have liked to see him put him away. Although they were against older horses, sort of his form probably ain't as strong as a few of the others in the race.
And your other runner's obviously Rising Red. He was terrific first up in race seven.
Yeah, I don't think he knows how to go a bad race. I think he'll acquit himself well. Hard to line up. It's obviously an extremely tough field. We'll push forward and hopefully have him in the first half a dozen, and he'll find some of it, I think, but to what level, I'm not sure.
Beauty.
All right, well, good luck with all of them, mate. It sounds like you're happy with the one you've sent to Sydney in particular for us.
Yeah, very happy.
Good on you. Thanks, Trent.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Trent Busselton joining us there with partner Natalie Young, have that base down at Cranbourne. Scratchings have gone straight to final here. It's a nice day coming up, around 25 degrees for De Bordeley Wines Golden Rose Day. A good four, penetrometer 4.68, and the rail at 3 metres. Race one, take out six, Mandalong Tapas, and nine, Lady of Shalott, 6 and 9 out of the first. Race two, number five, Aragula, 8 Footmark, 9 Rapture Miss, and 17 Tau Token, 5, 8, 9, and 17. The third, number 5, All Things, number 5. Races 4 and 5 are clear. Race 6, number 8, Noir, number 8. Race 7, the big feature race, take out 7, Jonker, with an elevated temperature, and 8, Longleaf, 7 and 8 out of the 7th. Race 8, the scratching of number 7, Best Guess, number 7. And race 9, 6 Shalmaneser, 10 Fime and Sam I Am, and 16 Royal Stamp, 6, 10 and 16. So there are the scratchings. The disappointment one, of course, this morning is Jonker. Well, let's go and have a chat with Kieran McAvoy. He joins us here on Racing HQ. Good morning to you, Kieran.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. Duff was inquiring earlier just off air, but I'm going to bring it out on air. He wants to come and do those exercises that you do on a midweek. He wants to come and spend some time standing on a ball and balancing himself. Do you reckon he'll be able to do it?
Well, he can come along. he might be able to do it, but I don't know how he'll pull up. But anyway, we'll just work on that later.
I don't know how that equipment would pull up either.
I'm making fun of it. But, Kieran, you're obviously, and I know Hugh Bowman, and probably all jockeys do it, but I'm just following you.
You do it in my day.
but on Twitter. But you stand on a ball. You do all sorts of exercises, obviously, for... Well, tell the listeners and viewers why you do it.
Yeah, well, this is... Huey Bowman's trainer, Trent Langlands. Huey's been working with him for a while. I've done for the last 18 months, 2 years with Trent, and yeah, just does different drills and different balance stuff, and obviously working on your core muscles and everything. Your whole body is one, I find it really helps. You know, have one or two workouts a week, and it's really enjoyable, and you can see the benefits, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the benefit's in your riding, that's for sure, because things are going pretty well at the moment, and you got some nice horses around you.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good time of year to be picking up. Lucky I can ride light. I've got some good ones this weekend and also next weekend as well, Duff. So looking forward to the rest of the spring.
Let's start from the top, My Blue Jeans. He gets to his right distance third up here.
Yeah, I think so. This is a trip and track that he won at, I won on him last prep, and... both his runs back have been quite good. Although he's won on rain-affected ground, I think he's going to appreciate getting to some better ground there today. And as you said, the 1500 just suits better. So Little bit of pressure in the race, but you know he's a horse that can lob in the front half somewhere, and I know that Danny's sort of training with this race in mind.
Race four, the staying race. This Lindsay Park galloper Cinder Wynn has nice credentials here.
Yeah, it was a good run first up. He's obviously travelled up from Victoria, and I've sat on him once for a win there at Caulfield last spring, so I know the horse a little bit. You know, he's down on the minimum, and you'd think he'd be a player in a race that might just set up nicely for him.
Young Stars, one of your cream rides. She returned really well with that eye-catching run in the tramway. Do you think she'll still have enough sprint left in her legs?
I think so, yeah. I'm sure that Chris would have trained her specifically with that in mind to know that she was going 1,500 second up and, no weight on her back and smallish field. It looks as though they might just roll nicely and we can be storming home late. So, really exciting first run and, hopefully this is sort of on the right path into some better races once we get into October. You know, obviously Chris has spoken about Caulfield Cups, and she might be a good ride for me in that if all goes well.
Okay, you say if all goes well, you haven't completely locked into her yet.
No, well Chris has got a few heading there. Horse like Egg Tart and
yep.
Everything else. So it's nice to be in that camp and have a few options going to those big majors.
X-Team looking for improvement, but she's capable of it.
Yeah, just looked as though she didn't enjoy that ground last start. I see that she's 1 second up. I haven't ridden her before in a race, I don't think, but she's drawn a good barrier to get a nice run in behind them. And, you know, look at the horses that she wasn't far beaten behind last prep, horses like Daisy Doom and the like. So she's got nice credentials to run well in this race second up today.
The Autumn Sun, just take us through that race the other day. Obviously, he should have nearly won that race.
Yeah, definitely. He was desperately unlucky, and obviously it was that quite soft ground, and he didn't really enjoy it. He took a furlong along the back to travel, and then he came off the bridle as we approached with the 700, and I opted to obviously go to the inside and try to manufacture a run, and that didn't eventuate. So we got desperately held up and lost a lot of momentum, and then he still sort of rallied and got back into the race and wasn't beaten far. So I'm sure with clear running, he would have won that race. So if that's the case, then you go there really confident today that he can run well. There's no doubt that 1,400 is a bit shy of his best distance, or his optimum trip, I suppose. But if they're running on from some sort of back in the field early in the day, then that gives us some confidence that it's always going to be a major player in this race today.
He's drawn the outside, but I don't think that's too big an issue. There's, what is there, 9 runners now, and he's a big, loping, striding horse.
Yeah, that's right. The 2 wins I've had on him have been when we've got to the outside and been allowed to use his stride and obviously build momentum. So that'll be key today. And as you said, I'm not too worried about the barrier.
Did you bring up the blinkers, or was it the stable's decision?
Yeah, we all chatted about it. Chris made the call in the end, and I think it's a good move going forward. It might just have him travelling right behind them through the first part of the race. The other day, as I said, he just took a furlong to warm up, and his work in Tuesday morning in them showed that he was right behind Zusane in his work and travelled nicely. So they could have the right effect on him today.
And you finish up with opposition. You've ridden a few of these here, but are you happy to stick with him?
Yeah, he's a nice big horse. First up run was great. Second up run was on that really wet track, and he was sort of back and wide and didn't really appreciate the wet ground. So today on nicer ground, I've got a wide gate to offset, but he's a horse I've got a little bit of time for. So I wouldn't be surprised if he can run a good race and show more today.
Beauty.
Next week, you speak about getting on some nice horses. You're obviously on Unforgotten in the Tab Epsom next week, and I was just thinking about who could end up being top weight, Kieran. It might be Hartnell at 57. You have to do a little bit to get to 52.5, but you obviously love her.
Yeah, she's obviously a great ride for me. She's taken all before her, and yesterday she was great in a trial there at Rose Hill. Just had a nice pipe opener of a trial and pleasing. So she's going to be a great chance in that. And in the Metro, presuming I'm assuming he gets in, is Primum Rocks, a horse that was done second to Avilius, their last start, he's got 51, so riding quite light in the matchup on him, but he's obviously going to be a great chance as well. Got a bit of time for that horse.
All right, well, we won't be ringing you next Saturday morning because 51 kilos.
That's why he's come on this morning. Anyway,
save my energy next week, Duff.
No, you'll need it because you've got some really high-profile rides.
We'll just organise when Duff's going to come along this week.
I'll see you at the gym, all right?
Right, mate. Catch you there.
See ya.
Good on you. Thanks, Kieran. Yeah. Good luck, mate. Kieran McAvoy, for those that haven't seen it, it's on social media. I suppose you can Google and go to Kieran McAvoy's Twitter page, but Ron, it just shows that the balance of a jockey standing on a ball. I mean, we'd fall over, but they just it looks good.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do. And I knew he's, and I don't know who's better at it. Him and Yui just do the same thing. And it's an obstacle course, but you got to hop on one leg. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. They're very fit men.
Yeah, they certainly are. It'll be interesting with the Tab Epsom, just who ends up being top weight. Humidor was given the... Happy Clapper, we know, has sadly bled and has gone out for that 3 months. Humidor was 59, it stays Melbourne. Le Romain is being freshened up, so it's not there. Then it's Hartnell at 57. So maybe that's going to be the top weight when it comes out. That barrier draw for the Epsom will be 10:30 on Tuesday on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central. That's Tuesday morning at 10:30. Terry Robinson's joining us now from the beautiful South Coast. Morning to you, Terry.
Morning, Andrew.
How is it there, mate? Just wrap it all up.
Cool morning, but it's a beautiful day now. Andrew, thank you.
Risk and reward today, Terry. He's got his foot right on the till here, but just everyone's question is 1,100, 1,100, 1,200, straight to 15. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Ron, I had the horse as an early three-year-old, and my sister Anna used to ride him, and we always had a very good opinion of him. He was very mature, and she always thought he's a 1,400, 1,600-metre horse then. So, obviously... You know, with the sprint races, he has been a little bit keen in his races. He's not built like a sprinter. He's built more like a middle-distance horse. And if he can find a soft lead today, I think, get away with a nice tempo, he'll be good. Especially back on top of the ground, too.
Okay, so you're happy with him back on top of the ground. And he probably will. He'll bluff about the lead here. Do you think he'll relax in the lead? That's the question.
Well, you're totally right there. That is the big question, Ron. He's had those three runs now, I am happy with him. He's done extremely well. He's taken a long time to clean up McCabe, but I think he'll present well today. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right. Good luck with him. Well, we're looking forward to seeing him. He's very well placed there.
He is well placed, Ron. Yeah, he can get the journey, for sure.
Good luck, Terry.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Good on you, Terry. Terry Robinson coming up with Risk and Reward in race two, number two, which, offers up again another really competitive Tab Highway, Ron. There's, we've got a few scratchings, but it's still the largest lineup of the day.
Yeah, it is. And the Canberra horses are putting a bit of sting back into these races as well, which is good to see. So it's, they hold it up week in, week out.
They do. That winner from last week, Matt Dales, C Stella, was it?
Yeah,
C Stella?
C Stella, yeah, looks a promising type.
Good.
Very sharp, and improvement to come too. If it can tick the 1,200-metre box, they've got themselves a really nice mare there.
Okay. All right, Matt Smith's our last guest this morning, talking about his runner in race 8 at Rose Hill. Morning to you, Matt.
Morning, Andrew. Morning, Ron.
G'day, Matt.
Looking forward to this. Fierce Impact coming back for you today. Looked pretty sharp in a recent trial.
He's come back in super shape. His trials have been quite good, those his trials, and he's pretty much left off from his last prep. He had a couple of good runs there in town, and now he's in good shape.
These imports, you'd find out where you are with the second Aussie prep, and they can really improve. So do you think he's improved from last prep?
Look, he's a bit better in himself. Like, his work's similar. I think he probably works improved a little bit, but just in being around the stable and everything, he's improved a lot. And he's a happier horse. He's eating better. So, I think there's definitely improvement in him. And of course, we've only got him up to 1,400 metres last time in, and I do expect he'll be better at a mile, maybe even 2,000. But, I'm really happy, Ron. Like, he's been sharp and his trials have been good, and I think he's, definitely improved.
It's tricky what you do from that barrier today, whether you, just push the button a little bit or you're just negative. Any bullish thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, no, we'll be negative today.
Yeah.
First up, 1,400, we'll be negative. We'll just go back and ride for luck. And, we've got to start him somewhere, and today's a good starting point. I'm sure he'll be really strong through the line. Just need to get a couple of breaks in the run, And he's still a colt, this fella. And he's not the sort of horse, first up, I think once he pulls the outside the top of the straight and try and get him to run over the top of him, he's a funny character horse, and he certainly likes to be running through horses rather than coming down the outside. So, we'll just try and hopefully Andrew can weave a passage through the pack there today.
Okay. Any ambitious spring plans for him?
Look, I'd like to end up in Melbourne with him. We've mapped out a preparation, to get him down to Melbourne. So that's where he'll have a couple of runs here. He'll have a 14 and then a mile here, and then we'll just see where he's up to. It all depends on how his first two runs are, really. But if he races well, we hopefully end up in Melbourne.
What do you think will be his best distance?
Well, I'm sure a tough mile would suit him. So, a good tough mile. But on his form, he should run a good 2,000, really. But to me, a good mile, a good gallop, good tempo mile, I think would really suit him. So,
You've got one runner at Kembla, Il Wendo. It's an import, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, he's a German horse, and he's a really nice horse. His run was good at Canterbury. We had a little setback. He just got galloped on in the race at Canterbury. It's not ideal. Like, he was going very well at that point of his preparation, so it's not ideal to have that bit of a setback in the middle of a prep. But I thought his trial was quite good the other day, we just got to... I just need to get a run under his belt at 2,000, so he really has to run here today. I think he's going to be a very nice horse and stable in the future. He's got tons of ability, so whatever he does this prep, next prep will be even better.
Okay, I knew you must have had an opinion of it. You put a nom in for the Melbourne Cup.
Something happens. Yeah. You're not in there. You're in all sorts of pain, so you got to throw a nom in,
Yeah.
You never know. He might end up in a strong cup or something. You never know.
You've got a few nice horses around you at the moment.
Yeah, we've had a good year last year. We scouted around and purchased some nice overseas horses. So and got a few nice locally bred ones too. So hopefully should have a good spring.
Good luck,
mate. I'm gonna ask you to do something for 5 seconds, and then you can hang up. We're going to just leave your line up because I love the noise of what's under you. So just don't say anything, but just let us hear it. I love the noise, Ron.
Yeah.
The clip-clop on the...
I love the noise of these scratchings you're about to give so I can have my breakfast, Andrew.
What are you having? See you, mate, Matt. See you, mate. See you. Hey, what are you having? Come on.
It's a nice beef sausage by the look of it, and a poached egg on ciabatta. Beautiful.
Jeez. Everyone waits for the scratchings, but they love to know what you're having. Fair dig. And where's the avocado?
Oh, turn it up. Avocado, no, leave me out of that.
Could have had strawberries on top, too, to support them.
I could have.
Anyway, you go and enjoy it. Thank you, Duff. We'll come back to you shortly. Let's go through the scratchings. We started Golden Rose Day at Rose Hill. Fine, 25 degrees, a glorious day to be at the track. A good 4, rail 3, and the penetrometer 4.68. Race 1, 6 Mandalong Tappet, 9 Lady of Shalott, 6 and 9. Race 2, number 5, Aragula, 8 Footmark, 9 Rapture Miss, and 17 Tau Token. 5, 8, 9, and 17. The third, number 5, All Things, number 5. Races 4 and 5 are clear. Race 6, number 8, Noir, number 8. Race 7, the Golden Rose. 7, Jonkers come out with an elevated temperature. And 8, Longleaf, 7 and 8. Race 8, number 7, Best Guesses out, number 7. And race 9, 6, Shalmaneser, 10, Fime and Sam I Am, and 16, Royal Stamp, 6, 10 and 16. They're the scratchings for the program at Rose Hill. We go to Kembla Grange, fine and a good 3, the rail at 6. Races 1 and 2 are clear. The third, number 10, Leonardo, number 10. The fourth, number 2, La Casa Maria Rosa, and 8, Recording to Win, 2 and 8. The fifth, 2 Battle Fury, 3 Cold Train, 4 Shinju and 13 Trust Who. 2, 3, 4 and 13. Race 6 at Kembla. 2 Our Royal Egyptian. 5 Highly Desired. 7 Savina and 9 Etheridge. 2, 5, 7 and 9. Race 7. 7 Victory Anthem. 9 Zabil's Choice and 12 Spars Holt. 7, 9 and 12. And race 8, number 3, One of a Kind, 7, Cariff, and 10, Pyro, 3, 7, and 10. That's the information for that program. We've got a meeting at Bowraville in New South Wales today. It's Fine and a Good 3, The Rail is True. Race 1, take out 2 and 9. Races 2 and 3 are clear, the 4th, number 3. Races 5 and 6 are clear, and race 7, take out 1 and 12. We go to Caulfield, where it's fine and 19 degrees down there. The track is a good 4, the rail at 9 metres for the program. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 10, Adil Lucci, number 10. The 3rd, number 7, Heart Conquered, number 7. The 4th, number 6, Spannerhead, number 6. Race 5 at Caulfield, 13, Labuan Star and 15, Vainstream, 13 and 15. Race 6, number 12, Sun De Bans, 14, Golden Halo, and 17, Striker Queen, 12, 14, and 17. Race 7, simply take out the 4 emergencies, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Race 8, 6, Widgey Turf, and the emergencies, 17, 18, and 19. And race 9, number 12, Princess of Queens, race 9, number 12. That's the information for Caulfield. To the Sunshine Coast, a little bit of cloud hanging around there this morning. It's a good 4, Penno 6.36, and the rail's in the True. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 4, Chica Pips, 10, Tango Yankee, 11, Yinar, and 12, Soft Top, 4, 10, 11, and 12. The 3rd, number 1, All Pluck, 5, Star Justice, 8, Stellar Power, 12 Magic Ink and 13 Progression. 1, 5, 8, 12 and 13. The 4th, number 9, Don't Doubt Lara and 12 Zephyr Cruiser, 9 and 12. Race 5, 10 Beat Street, number 10. Race 6, 14 Hidden Chief, number 14. Sunshine Coast, race 7, number 1 Frespinol and 10 Old Habits, 1 and 10. Race 8, 6 Cedar Wood and 11 Blooming Tycoon, 6 and 11. And race 9, 4 Cashing Up, 7 Desert General, 11 Cedarwood, 12 Pinch Passion, and 14 Give Us a Cuddle. 4, 7, 11, 12, and 14. That's the information for the Sunshine Coast. And finally, Morfordville, it's fine and a good 4, the rail True, the penetrometer 5.34. Race 1, 6 Hell on Earth, number 6. Race 2, 1 Curtain Call, 3 Morrissey, 5 Tomahawk Lad, and the emergencies 15 and 17. The 3rd, number 1, Namiya, 4, Agas, 5, Ayers Rock, and 11, Adorada, 1, 4, 5, and 11. The 4th, number 5, Vicky's Boy, 12, Agunday, 14, We Have Liftoff, and 15, Irish County, 5, 12, 14, and 15. The 5th, number 7, Going Gaga, and 14, Datura. Race 6, 860's Groove, 9, Silvera, and 10, Alpeaky Blinders, 8, 9, and 10. The 7th, 7, Creativity, and 13, Overland, 7 and 13. And race 8, 5, Go Down, 11, Journey Girl, and 14, Hydata, 5, 11, and 14. Haven't quite gone interim, but they're the scratchings for Morfordville. Peter Ellis to preview on radio at 11. Sky Racing, one about to leave us for American Racing. The rest of us back in a moment to have a look at this massive day of racing at Rose Hill.
Dynamics indications, Gay and Adrian have a super colt to be owned and raced with Jerry Harvey. By Piero, the champion first and second season sire in Australia, our colts from Confer, a Group 1 placed mare.
I've been dealing with Dynamics indications now for many, many years. They're good people. We've had a very good relationship over a very long time.
Join Jerry Harvey and Gay Waterhouse in our Piero colt. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-61-9999. AFSL 336808.
Whoever
Whether you're thinking of backing in the Golden Rose, TAB's got you covered with a $750,000 projected first four pool. That's right, $750,000 on the Golden Rose Stakes at Rose Hill this Saturday. Don't miss a minute of the action and watch every race live on the TAB app. With more Sky Racing than any other app, including Sky One, Sky Two and Sky Thoroughbred Central, who are you backing this spring? TAB. Download the app and visit your local. Terms and conditions apply.